Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello. Hello. Oh, go ahead, Chuck. Chuck is here on the phone, so you take it away. I'm sorry.
All right. Chuck on the phone, Julie on FaceTime, and this is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
That's right. Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness Advanced, acupuncture and Chinese medicine. Chuck is at the Glendale Torrey Creek Chronicle World Headquarters, where he's having some kind of computer issues. So he's joining us on the phone. Hey, and a lot of stuff to talk about today, but want to kind of open it up to you guys too. So anyone who's joining us on Zoom, feel free at any point to kind of unmute yourself and chime in if you want. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. But Chuck wanted to start out today with, I think, a great idea, the SAVE Act. And can the SAVE Act save Colorado? And Chuck, why don't you explain your thoughts on that?
Well, the SAVE Act has lots of provisions, all of which, you know, updating voter rolls, making sure that, you know, dead ones come off, and all kinds of things that would be on the margins helpful. But it does two things that are incredibly important. In addition to having voters having to show that they are United States citizens, with there's lots of ways to do it, with passports and birth certificates and even certain driver's license, not the General Garbozo one, but the two provisions that are really important for Colorado and would change the state. One is on registrations. You have to go in order to register. You can't just register online. And Julie, why don't you tell us about that wonderful thing we just had with our son, Rev?
So Colorado has what they call motor voter. So anything you do at the Department of Motor Vehicles, right, when you go there, which you have to do if you're, you know, if you're like Rev is getting his learner's permit, right? If you need an ID, anything, right? You know, need to register your vehicle, get a title, any of those kinds of things. Anything you have to do with the Colorado Department of Motor Vehicles, you're automatically registered to vote. Okay. Now, I was there the other day with Rev. And number one, there were a lot of, as you can imagine, people there who were not speaking English. They had to have interpreters. So number one, I would wonder, are they, but the people are asking them, do you want to register to vote? Rev is 15. And they asked him if he wanted to register to vote. And he said, yes. But and I don't think any of that mattered. I think because what happened then a couple of days later, well before he's going to get his actual physical permit, he got a letter in the mail saying, you know, that he could register as a Democrat, Republican, or just not do anything. And then he'd be an unaffiliated voter and they would mail a ballot to him. And then it said, now keep in mind that you're only 15, so you actually can't vote. And keep in mind that you have to be a U.S. citizen. But there was basically, you know, it was nothing. So Rev just put down Republican, good for him. And we sent it back to the Department of Motor Vehicles. So I'll be curious to see if he actually gets a ballot. But all of these people, I mean, the letter came, like I said, within 3 days. Which, you know, the Democrats, Chuck, if nothing, aren't efficient, right? It takes forever to get your actual permit from the DMV, actual physical permit.
Yeah.
You get a letter registering you to vote within days, and if you don't do anything, well, you're automatically registered as unaffiliated.
You're automatically registered, and it just, quote unquote, goes in effect on your 18th birthday. And it's always interesting, when do you have to be 18 exactly? And they finagled with that. So, well, even though if you're 18 by the time of the election itself, even though when you filled out the absentee ballot, you're 18, that counts.
I'd be curious to see if he actually gets a ballot. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and given Jenna Griswold's corruption level, I'm going to bet that he gets a ballot, right?
Probably not.
Go ahead, jump in.
Okay. First of all, this is not under Janet Griswold. This is under whoever runs the Department of Revenue, because okay. they're the ones in charge of the that's the person to go after. Then you can say that you're using state funds for an illegal procedure. Yeah. I know the technical word, but that's who I wouldn't go after. I would go after the treasurer of the state of Colorado.
Okay, that's a good point.
He's the one that's issuing that ballot, not Janet Griswold.
Right. Okay. Well, you would think.
All right. Why is he any different, though? He's just another left-wing nutball.
Right.
But in Michigan, Joycelyn Benson, the Secretary of State, her signature is on every driver's license. Then you would go after I would go after the treasurer of the state of Colorado.
Okay.
Saying that you're using funds.
Yeah, well, and it is.
There's no going after anybody. All you can do is they're going to pay no attention, and then you can sue them in the corrupt Colorado courts, all Democratic judges, and it'll get thrown out. I mean, they don't care.
It's
a closed system.
Back to the SAVE Act, Chuck. So what you're saying, so there are two provisions in it that would, one, you'd have to, and this is important, you'd have to actually show up in person to register to vote, right?
Yes, and you'd have to bring some proof with a few exceptions, and I don't know all the exceptions, but you'd actually have to go someplace and register to vote. You couldn't be this one. You go for your learner's permit at age 15, and then eventually, you know, you just start getting ballots.
Well, then you couldn't be registering you to vote outside Argonaut Liquor Store, right? I think, as I understand it, it would also prohibit online registration, and it would prohibit third party registration. I think there's another thing too, though, isn't it? That's even more significant, right? Or at least to me, more significant.
Well, basically, it would prevent all mail-in voting. So there are 8 states. All far left, including Colorado, I guess 7 states, and the District of Columbia, in which you don't have to do anything. You automatically get a ballot in the mail. This would prohibit that. You'd have to go back to the old system, whereby you have to file, you'd have to request an absentee ballot.
Right.
And so that would destroy a large part of the massive advantage that the Democrats have. It would, so.
Well, no, I think you're right. It is the only way. I think particularly along the front range, right? The progressive liberals along the front range, outweigh to a great extent, obviously, the Republicans. You have that middle, you know, the unaffiliated voters, which in Colorado, I think it's pretty clear, tend to lean Democrat. I mean, we've talked before, I think Colorado is a blue state. However, like you said, if you could make reinstate election integrity, right, where you had to be a U.S. citizen, you had to prove you're a U.S. citizen to vote. So you had to show some degree of interest in voting in the same place. I think, and then, like you said, you get rid of the all mail balloting, you could start to really cut down on the amount of fraud. And then you throw in cleaning out the voter rolls. You know, I mean, Mike O'Donnell on X does a great job of every day he's posting stuff showing houses where people are dead and they're still getting ballots. People have moved and they're voting in other states and they don't even live there, obviously, and they're getting ballots. But I think you're right, Chuck. I think that could give Republicans, at least in some areas in particular, and maybe even in Adams County, a fighting chance, don't you think?
Yeah, it would. It would. And so I don't see this discussed anywhere among the Rhino Radio. And, you know, what the Democrats do is every session they cheat more and more. So all of a sudden, you know, you don't have to be 18 to register. You can do a provisional registering at 15, and then you'll get your ballot at 18. And you can, the newest one in the legislature, no, you don't get the ballot 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks. You'll get it a month plus. I mean, every session they're adding a new voter ripoff, and the Republicans just sit there and go, huh. Okay, well, new rules.
And that's why we need to have it done federally, because this is my explanation for that, is the Rhino establishment people, they don't want open, they want a total jungle primary, right? They are doing the bidding, as we've talked about many times before, of the rich donors who want to have a jungle primary where they control access to the ballot and they handpick the candidates and spend enough money to get them on the ballot. So the Rhino Republicans, look at Wayne Williams, right? We have the gold standard. They don't want fair. They don't want election integrity. They want elections that are totally rigged. They just don't want them rigged. They want them rigged by the billionaires, right? So, I think that's why they don't do anything.
Well, now these guys, our good friend Peter had a great program with Joe Altman on the Saturday. He's uninterested in what you call inside baseball, which is the rules by which people vote or don't vote. He just says, well, we got to run longer and hit the bag harder. And in the meantime,
the quality of the candidate, right? They always throw that up. Well, it's a candidate. It's like, no, it's not.
It doesn't matter what kind of candidate. It could be Jesus Christ himself, and he couldn't win. But if the Save America Act actually passes, if we really did have a good candidate, and God knows, why would anybody run? Why would a good candidate run when you have no chance of winning? You're not going to get one. I like Scott Bottoms, and I like some others, and Victor Marx is crazy but fun, and Joe Altman's also crazy but fun, and all of them, but none of them have a chance. So you're not going to get anybody who is really kind of a candidate that can appeal to a lot of people. Now you might get a Barbara Kirkmeyer, but she is truly disgusting of all people. You might as well have a Democrat. So she's going to run in a primary that she doesn't go to the assembly, and she'll, I won't vote for her. I don't care what I mean. I won't vote for her.
Right.
It's you have to get it so that, that if they don't cheat really badly and get lazy a little bit, Republicans could win. But Republicans have to get inside baseball. They got to go to federal court and sue, because you can't sue in state court.
You've got they already are, right, with the opt-out thing. We've seen Rhonda Britta Horn. It is exactly as we predicted, right? That's just dying a slow death. She doesn't, no major announcements, nothing, but nothing's happening on it. And again, I go back to, if we could have at least the SAVE Act, and I think you're right, whether in certain places, we're probably still, I would wager, not going to win a statewide seat, right? But you might have a better chance in, say, CD8. You might have a better chance in some of the state legislative races where the districts are a little bit closer. And if you took away the Democrats' ability to cheat, then it'd be even closer. And I think then you can slowly but surely maybe start to make some legislative changes too, or at least, so we have more than
one. You could maybe win Attorney General Janet Griswold. Yeah. Had a good, we don't even have somebody who wants to run for it.
No, but there are people running for it, yeah.
We've had George Brockler try and others try, but right now, they've so crooked the system, and you have to go in federal court and sue about federal elections, because the Republicans also don't ever mention that the judiciary is stacked against them that we have no trust. And they, if we had Dave Williams back, we'd issue, an announcement that we have no trust in the judicial system. Any judicial system, the Supreme Court finds you cannot vote for Donald Trump because they don't like Donald Trump.
That tells us something right there. But what about, so let's talk about, though, where the SAVE Act is, right? I think Donald Trump today was saying that, hey, he's not going to sign any piece of legislation until they pass the SAVE Act. I'm pretty sure, it seems to be fairly, at least in the House, on bipartisan. Where is it now? It's the Senate they're using the filibuster stuff, right?
Yeah, they need 51 votes in order to do they can't get 50 and then have the vice president. They need 51 votes, I think. I don't think it can be 50 and then you get the vice president, but either one. But now they've got four, Tom Tillis, Mitch McConnell, who is the greatest traitor to the disaster Republican Party. He was leader for decades. You got Murkowski, and I think that's enough to take it below. Maybe you need Collins, but because of Cornyn's all of a sudden turn and say, "Oh, I'm for the SAVE Act," and miraculously, when his opponent said, "Look, you know, I'll
If
drop
you'll
out
be
for
for it, I'll drop out. When Paxton said that, yeah. Well, so here's comes the other thing too is that's even say it passes. You know that states like Colorado will appeal it, right? It is the kind of thing. I mean, that's not coming to save us anytime soon. But I will say this, at least with and it has. As
Oh,
I
no,
remember,
no, that's not true at all.
oh,
Yes,
okay.
they'll go into federal court. Yes, you know, one of their Marxist-Leninist nutbags will declare it unconstitutional. But then, you know, you quickly bring it up to either the Supreme Court and have them stay the injunction, or to one of the appellate courts, and we have pretty good success in a
Yeah.
lot of the appellate courts. So it really could. I mean, they could, you know, it could be in place for 2026. I mean, everything could change, but I'm whining about Rhino Radio, but none of them ever talk about Jeff and Billy, no. Ross Kaminsky, no. Rush to Reason, no. Manny Connell, no. I mean, it's just, they're just...
Yes, I think you're
I'm
right.
just kidding people.
It is the one hope. I mean, it's only for a federal election, but it is the one hope that Colorado has, I think,
Well,
to
but it'll be so expensive for states to run two different elections. It'd be, you know, really tough for
Oh, I
Colorado to
know.
say, okay,
Right.
we'll run federal elections this way and run state elections another way. That's
Right.
unlikely that states will do that. Now, Colorado, I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, it'd be doubly expensive and everything else, but I think
They would just—they refuse to
it's
refund
given.
Tabor. Then they won't give us our Tabor refunds. They'll be like, "Oh, you have to use it because you Republicans." Well, you know, we'll see what happens. Obviously, Trump is playing hardball because I think, like you said, the good news is Trump gets it right. The good news is Trump gets how the election integrity, how big the election integrity issue is, and that unless you address that. It's you know you're it's not it, it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. We saw, and it's confusing, and you're right, you know, the people who go election deniers. So in Maricopa County, I saw, you know, the FBI apparently is taking some records that have to do with the 2020, I guess, and other elections where, and it gets kind of complicated where people were saying, okay, they saw filled out mail-in ballots and blank mail-in ballots at the same in the same location, and that's sort of a violation. They're not supposed to be commingled like that, right? No evidence that, but the point is if they're doing, if there's some, but given everything else going on in Maricopa County, it's like clearly no one cared what was going on there, right? And they were just kind of, you know, what if there's no election integrity. If you can't even follow the most basic rules of keeping them separate, what else is going on?
Right. Well, you know, and I forget what the third state is, but you know, they cheated in Maricopa County. You know, they cheated in Fulton County, and maybe it's Michigan, and whoever
Wait,
county that is, Cobb
it's
County,
Wayne.
wherever it
It's
is.
Wayne
But,
County. No, it was Wayne County.
Wayne.
It was Wayne
Oh,
County,
okay.
Detroit.
Yeah.
There's a
So if
shot.
he won those three states, Joe Biden wouldn't have won. It'd have been 269. To 269. And so, you know, all this time that people go, "Oh no, what are you talking about?" I mean, they're so desperate to get the ballots back from a Fulton County that they're just, you know, they're going to court. Why?
They're
Why
going to raid,
would
it's going to
you?
be like some kind of weird raid on the FBI office and they'll all disappear. Well, you know,
Yeah.
again, to me, it's sort of like, say, go no further. It would seem that, like, if you were a Secretary of State, even in the interest of saving money, but if you had even the remotest interest in election integrity, you would say, yeah, you know, we need to purge, we need to at least get all the dead people, you know, off our voter rolls. We need to go back into that interstate compact where we, if you move and register to vote in another state, we take you off of the Colorado thing. I mean, some of the most basic things, and they refuse to do even that. And that tells you something, right? That there's only one reason you would not want to make sure that the voting system was fair, and that's because it's not, and you just don't want people to know how bad it is.
I mean, you know, every kind of in Colorado for state office, the only thing they should talk about is how the Democrats have rigged the state.
Right.
That's all you should talk about, because nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. How the Colorado courts, through are willing to throw off the most popular Republican off the ballot because they just felt like it.
Right.
And that's what the Supreme Court did. A majority of the Supreme Court, and they got overturned. They were even overturned by the Democrats on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they want to fight, and they can't fight. Well, what happens is all we have is, you know, Victor Marx attacking Joel and Joel Mack attacking him, both of them. And the one when they don't attack, of course, is Barbara Kirchmeier, who is the overwhelming favorite.
Right.
I mean, you know, the absurdity of our Republican candidates. Talk about vote, you know, how the SAVE Act will change everything. And two, you know, what do we do about our court system? What do we do?
Well,
and I don't think of, you know,
well, I think I would push back on you a little bit. If you're a candidate running for office, you need to talk about that, but you need to talk about other stuff that people care about, right? If that's all you talk
you're
about.
You're not going to get elected. You're not going to get elected. I agree that if you're in a legislative race, you could win. You should talk about all kinds of things. But
okay, I see what you're saying.
You're not going to get elected.
Just use it for the thing.
Win. Yeah, I mean, as a real candidate for office, you got to talk about a lot of things.
But if you're just running, well, you want to switch over. So we'll see what happens with that. I'm not holding my breath. Anything happening anytime soon? What about, can we switch over?
I don't know. It's a lot closer than you think, Julie. It's a lot closer. It is within one senator of, well, they'd have to get rid of the filibuster, but that's all it takes is to have them do a talking. So it's incredibly close, I hate to say. Now, maybe incredibly close.
I'm still not holding my breath.
It's incredibly far away, but
right.
It really is within one vote of actually, you know, it's such a practical thing of being here in Colorado. I mean, just.
Well, as I said, you know, the SAVE Act could maybe save it. So, okay. Want to scooch up, want to move over to Iran? Trump is announcing some stuff today. Okay. So today, Trump was saying he apparently did an interview with CBS where he said the war is nearing an end, way ahead of schedule from his initial 4 to 5 week kind of prediction about it. He said they have no Navy, no air, no communication system. I guess they named a new Supreme Commander, but no one likes him. And he couldn't find a wife for whatever reason, even. So anyway, Trump is saying that, you know, hey, this is moving quicker. And I wanted to play Victor Davis Hanson. This is sort of a montage of his stuff. But he had, I thought, a pretty good analysis that I kind of agree with, too. So, Thomas, if we could please play the Victor Davis Hanson soundbite.
No, you can't negotiate with them because they're ideologue or fanatic ideologues. They have a supernatural view of what's going to happen. They've said that Israel was a one-bomb state, got half the Jews in the world in one place where all you needed was one bomb. I think their strategy was kind of a Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope. Write it out, Trump would be gone in 3 years, and you'd get a Joe Biden or a squad member or a Newsom, and then you're home free to get the bomb because they would not do anything. That was the strategy. I think it would have worked, actually. So now the question is the domestic support, and the base is going to be very tricky because the MAGA base, remember, it was predicated on no forever wars and no optional wars in the Middle East in reaction to Afghanistan and Iraq. The domestic support will depend on how many American casualties, how quick is it over, and how effective are the results. If it is over within 3 weeks and there's a revolution and they have some type of transitional government, unlike Iraq, then everybody's going to say, I was for it all along, even the ones that are against it. I think the Democrats are hoping, I'm not saying that out of maliciousness, I think they actually hope that it won't work, even though that would put American lives at risk, what they're posting. It's not just that it was a mistake, but it's wrong, it's evil. Well, if it's evil, then you want it to stop. If you believe it was an evil decision in the sense of wrong, then you might say, I disagree with the decision, but now that it's made, I want Americans to prevail and be.
I mean, I kind of agree with all that. I mean, we've talked before, too. I know there's, you know, we were listening to this podcast our son listens to, and the guy, he's funny, and he says a lot of interesting stuff, although he's clearly anti-Trump. But it's kind of, his whole theory is that Trump started the whole war so that Jared Kushner could make a lot of money out of rebuilding Gaza. I'm like, well, I think there's a little more to it than that. But I think he's...
Probably not.
Yeah, well, maybe
probably
that was
not.
A That was a factor. It wasn't the whole reason. It wasn't the whole reason. I think that that he's right. I mean, and it's moving quickly, you know, and as long as it continues to, I think it's sooner or later. I mean, Iran seems to be Running out of some of the more damaging kind of missiles. I mean, they have those drones, but even that, they're using them all up. Nobody really seems to be in charge there, which has got to make things difficult. And we continue to bomb the heck out of them. So if he can pull this off and at least sort of cease the fighting, here in a few weeks, I don't know if it drags on and on, but I don't see how it could. Do you? I think every day that goes by, Iran is weaker and weaker and weaker.
Well, the trouble is you need somebody who's going to walk around on the ground and, say, well, okay, we're going to do this. And, we don't want to put boots on the ground. Israel, of course, wants us to do everything. I'm not sure you ever really just bomb somebody into, I guess we did in Kosovo, but just bomb them into surrendering. And Israel doesn't care. They want Iran to be a failed state if they could, or best of all would be like when it was with the Shah prior to 79 when Iran was a big booster of Israel. But our interests and Israel's interests aren't always the same. Sometimes they're the same, but not always.
Right. Well, again, Trump kind of keeps that separate. And my guess is he will. And I think to me, it seems we've talked about this a little bit last time. It's like, okay, so they were building a nuclear weapon. You can quibble about how close were they? Were they 3 weeks? Were they whatever? But they were building it.
Right.
And they weren't building it for deterrence. They were building it to use on Israel, right? And whoever else they could maybe get it to. So they, as soon as they had it done, they were going to use it. So there was no point in waiting, and there was no point in negotiations weren't working because, like Victor Davis Hanson said, they had this, their ideology was not practical based, right? They weren't trying to boost their economy. They were trying to destroy Israel, take over the world, and which of course wasn't going to happen, but they, it was their job. I think they saw to give it their best shot. And so you can't negotiate with somebody like that, right? You don't have anything they want. And so you can't give them anything. And the only thing you could do was stop them. And Trump finally went in and did. And I think I kind of suspect, and I don't know, Tom, you may disagree. I suspect that once Trump feels that he's largely eliminated the military threats, right? That he might pull back. Now you got the whole oil thing. I mean, gas prices are surging, which always kills me. It's like whatever gas is at the pump right now was in the system a long time ago, right? So I don't know. And I got a feeling that Trump might be saying to the oil companies, hey, you guys want to go into Venezuela, right? Somebody wants to work in Iran when this is over, right? Well, okay, that's knock off the gas price thing. But I don't understand. It's not really a make America great again. And I mean, it's a common sense national security issue to me. And, I know the MAGA fate, things fight, but I just think anymore, so much of that is just clickbait. People are trying to boost their audience one way or the other that they become unreasonable. But anyway, my bottom line is this, I don't see that Trump had a choice. I'm glad he did it. And I bet he's not going to stick around. He's not going to try to build the regime. He's going to make sure the threat is gone. And then I think we're going to move away and, then maybe let diplomacy take over.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Well, what do you think?
We'll see.
You think Israel's going to force him to keep going?
Yeah, probably. They'll probably tell him you can't stop now, buddy.
I don't know. Trump may be like, that's a good idea, but I don't know. Okay, well, nothing else on that then? You're kind of done with Israel or with Iran?
Well, I don't know if I'm done with it. I mean, the problem is, well, the biggest mistake Israel made was to have people like Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro just go out and say anybody who's not for whoever Netanyahu says is an anti-Semite. And you're all going, really? I mean, we have to do exactly what Netanyahu says or we're anti-Semite? And if you know somebody and are willing to talk to somebody who doesn't do everything that Israel wants, you're an anti-Semite. And, I mean, people like Megyn Kelly and a lot of other people, I've really turned on Israel, and it's understandable. I mean, they've really emphasized to us that for how many years have we done Israel's bidding? As far as the war goes, I think it is. Iran declared war against the United States 47 years ago. And
good
it's
point.
Been bringing death to America ever since. And we pretend like we're not. And they killed soldiers in Iraq with IEDs and everything else. So, you know, I mean, as long as we're not just doing another regime change ground war, you got to be for it, don't you?
I think so. No, I would agree with that. And again, I kind of suspect, I mean, look what's happened, because nobody talked about Venezuela, right? It was going to be, oh, that was going to be a forever war too, right? And that's pretty much over. You
Yeah.
know, it's like,
Well,
and no one
lost
wants to
it for the
talk
time
about that.
being.
You don't see anything like that in the media, but that worked, right? We went in, we took out Maduro, right? And then now they've got a new person in, and the kind of things are moving along. The economy's massively improving. But again, you know, no one hears about that, right? Because they want us all like, oh, you know, he's going to start World War III. Well, he hasn't started World War III. As we said, Russia and China are just kind of sitting on the sidelines. They're the only, I guess, Bajan maybe did something to Turkey. I was, but you know, but nobody who was a major player, particularly, I think, if you've seen what the United States could do, right? So if you're like one of those little countries around there and you're like, well, I maybe will shoot off some missiles to help Iran, but then you saw what the United States did to Iran, you might be like, no, thanks, I'll just stay here.
No,
You know?
never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Well, and we haven't
Well,
seen,
it's
the
going
Houthis haven't gone crazy in the Strait of Hormuz. In, you know, in Lebanon, the Hamas hasn't been, and maybe they can't, right? I mean, maybe Trump did enough cutting off their head, or maybe people are like, okay, we can't win this one, but we're not going to waste whatever weapons we have. You know, I don't know. But they, Iran, and then they started shooting at all of their friends or attacking all of their so-called, or their
And
neighbors.
then they apologize. Ah, we're sorry about that. We
And
didn't
then they did it again. So, you know,
mean. Oh,
I
we're
don't know.
sorry again. Did we bomb the show? Oh man, I hate
Well,
when we do that. I
there
hate
was
when you
some
do that.
indication, and who knows what's true, that the kind of the people in charge, the politically and the people in charge militarily, were not communicating and weren't listening to each other. So,
Yeah.
but that's when we're at. Okay. Well, let me. Can I talk about Brian Junedep for a second?
Sure.
Okay. So good news. We actually a couple of two good news pieces I wanted to talk about. So we've had him on the show forever. He's filled in for us. He's been a long time. He's a great commentator. He's got columns up regularly in American Thinker. Dr. Brian Junedep, he was appointed to the EPA's Clean Air Scientific Advisory Committee. Now, I kind of looked up what does a clean air, there are not that many people on it, really. There's like five people, something like that. Five. So it's not like one of those where there's 800 people and your mother are on it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, okay, so you and eight million of your closest friends, but no, there's just a handful of people. And so what I look, what does the EPA Clean Air Scientific Advisory Committee do? And it advises the president on clean air. But what's cool is we've seen Trump and the EPA sort of systematically dismantling some of this regulatory warfare that they've waged, you know, in the name of the environment. And when you get somebody like Brian Junedep, who's a pretty intelligent, not pretty, he's extremely intelligent, really knowledgeable, and really common sense kind of guy. You know, he could be like, you know, I don't actually think that we're all going to die of climate change here in the next couple of years. So I don't know, maybe we can have some common sense sort of things going on at the EPA. I don't know, what do you think?
Brian would be great. I mean, just what an intelligent mind, what a great person to have on. I don't know what the advisory panels do. I'm not sure they're how much they listen, but if you're gonna have a scientific panel, he'd be
You might
great to have on it.
exactly. Yeah, we're trying
For
to get him on the
sure.
show. I mean, I'm sure he's busy. So, but I texted him and said, "Hey, come on our show." So we'll let you know if we can get him on the show at any time soon.
And who hates it? Has there been any blowback saying, "Hey, God, you can't have that Neanderthal like Kyle Clark or somebody
Now, Kyle Clark
screaming
tweeted that
about
he was on it. He just called him a talk show regular. And he just tweeted,
it?"
and I don't know if Brian Junedep, I didn't see anything from him. I mean, maybe there was an announcement, but no, it wasn't snarky. I'll give him that. It was just, you know, straightforward. I'll hear from
That's
back
amazing.
to the Venezuela. Trump's end game is to choke off the oil to China, Iran, and Venezuela, and the Panama. Oh, to China, Iran, and Venezuela, and the Panama Canal were all players in it. Yeah, I think that's true. And to Russia, and you know, and he's kind of forcing Europe, I think, to take a look at their, you know, fuel relationships too. But I think you're right. As I understand it, it makes it harder and more expensive for China to get the oil too. And Jacob, if you're just unmute yourself. I can see you weighing in. But I don't know. I think, Chuck, back to the Venezuela or the oil thing, I just think if you're China, you want to just wait and see how this plays out. You're not going to go to war over Iran, do you think?
No, they're not going to go to war with Iran, although they could go to war with Taiwan or something. But
and Jacob says once oil goes back to $50, Russia collapses. What was it, over $100 a barrel today?
Well, the Russians must kind of like it, all this.
Yes.
Oil, you know?
Yes.
Price over $100. That really just.
Hold on. I want to tell you something. I don't know. You missed it.
Okay.
But China has ceased sending jets over Taiwan on practice runs because of the lack of oil that they have.
Oh.
Gas. That's great.
That's part of the game. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah,
if we control Venezuelan oil, and there's huge amounts, although it takes a huge investment, we don't need Iranian oil for that matter. But it's really going to be an incredibly tricky geopolitical game we're the oil country, and we're not oil country anymore, but yeah. Texas and other places, Wyoming, I mean, $100 barrel oil makes a lot of people a lot of money in the United States.
Yeah, I know one guy in Colorado, he fracks a lot, and he produces about 10,000 barrels of oil a week. So at $100, yeah, that's a lot. That is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Except for Jared, Polis is going to crack down on him. We have no oil, no fossil fuels, but in the next 4 years,
well,
6 years.
You know, that's the last thing I'm going to say is that I drive by Cherry Creek, and if you've noticed, west of the Nordstrom's department store, that's all gated off to be destroyed. That was a lot of sales tax money that's not going to be there anymore. Maybe it's time for our mayor to think about. Drilling over at where the amusement park is.
Because yeah, or Elitch's.
There's 500 million barrels, yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, I want to think, speaking of that, this is kind of just apropos of nothing, but Denver Business Journal had an article, which I couldn't read the whole thing because it was behind a paywall, but it was saying that they had done a study and they estimated that the losses, the downtown office vacancies and office sales and the property tax and all of that amounts to like $1 billion. In lost revenue to Colorado. And I'm not sure over the time frame, but it's like, it, like you said, maybe they'll have to do that to save it, because Denver's doing everything it can to destroy itself. And that's just not sustainable financially, I don't think. So, yeah, we'll see.
Okay, one quick question. When you went to get the driver's license for your son, did he have to show a birth certificate?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, so he'll get a real ID, you know, with the star on the driver's license.
Yes. Yeah, and they were kind of picky about what they would take. It was for him, it could only be a birth certificate or a passport, an American a U.S. birth certificate or passport. I think there were some, if there was a military thing, I mean, if you had unusual circumstances, all I had to show was like a public utilities bill to show that I was his mom. He'll be a real citizen.
When I got mine, I had to show a birth certificate, but I had an affidavit notarized, signed by my mother, saying that she would be responsible for my driving.
I had to sign one of those too. I had to sign one of those too. And actually the driver's license guy was kind of funny because he told Rev, he goes, you understand this is an effect to your 16. He said, she said to your 16. And he said, so you do anything your mother doesn't like. He said, all she has to do is call us up and rescind it and you can't drive.
Well, one last thing. Chuck would know this, but I took my driving test on 6th Avenue and Broadway. And that off it's no longer there, but that's where I took my, that's how old I am.
Oh, well, here you're like this. The whole thing is a scam. They don't even, the DMV doesn't even do driving tests anymore. You have to go through a private company and pay $1 million. And the private company does the test, then uploads the results into the DMV. And you just kind of upload all of that. And then you get your license. It's kind of, yeah.
I'm sure it's a no-paid contract, too, to some nice Democratic donors.
Yeah, really.
That was the only time I ever took a road test. Oh. I took two written tests, right. And that was it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now you would have to pay like $300 to a private company to have them do it. So
well, the last time I got a moving violation was back in January of 87. So.
Oh, you're pretty good.
yeah, that's unfortunately, if you ask the Bonneville family, all members, they would not reach back into another century.
I never thought about that. All right, have a good day.
Thanks, Jacob. Thanks. Hey, then the other piece of good news, the Democrats have officially dropped their effort to decriminalize or to legalize prostitution. They basically said, okay, we don't have the support. And I think in a way it was stupid of them. I'm sure some people, because it did give Republicans a pretty decent talking point for a while about how crazy Democrats are, right? I mean, somebody is probably beating, it was some guy from Pueblo introduced it, are beating it in his head saying, don't do that anymore. You know, don't be introducing stupid bills that make us look bad, that have no chance of passing, that Polis is not going to agree to anyway. But I think it says something, though, about where Democrats are. And I think the division of their party, that he was able to bring this in the first place, or that he felt confident to bring it, and that he didn't, you know, somebody didn't draw him, take him aside and, you know, and say, drop it right now. So he's dropping it after they gave Republicans all this time to talk about it. Because that would be, I mean, just so incredibly stupid if Colorado were to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, hooray, we won, whatever it is.
It's like, I'm not sure. Well, oh, and Jacob, I hope the Iran stuff ends soon. He has to be in Israel in a few months. Okay, yeah, hopefully. Well, so that was kind of, anything else you had on your mind, Chuck? Anything else you wanted to?
I want to talk about, why is it, we already brought it up before a little bit, why is it that the few conservatives, which are, I mean, there are 32 people running for governor or something, But three grassroots people, which are who would they be? They would
be Mark Schultman and Scott Adams.
Mark and Joe Oldham's and Scott Bottoms, and they're just all attacking each other when the only person they should be attacking is Barbara Kirkmeyer, and she just
I'll push back on Scott Bottoms. He that I've noticed, he hasn't been attacking the other two candidates. Scott Bottoms has been, and he said some unfortunate things, but I mean, he's been running his own campaign. You know what I mean? Staying in his own lane. Some of his people are, but you know, but I haven't seen that. But you're right. I think Joe Altman and Victor Marx, I absolutely agree with you. It's like, you know, Mark Hampton said that before he kind of started siding with Victor Marx. He's like, why are we, you know, we all need to be attacking Barb Kirkmeyer.
And so she's not going to go through assembly. She's already got all the votes, so she can just go on there. And the one thing she won't have is, most of the time the Democrats don't have any primary, and here they'll have Bennett and Weiser. And that will make them, you know, the independents kind of want to, that's the more important one to vote on. So it'll be, you know, maybe Barbara Kirkmeyer won't prevail, but it's just, you know, who knows? And you know, we've been very much involved with the State Central Committee. We're both members, and you know, very little publicity except for Colorado Politics, one or two articles on the fact that Rita Horn had 80% of the Republicans saying they have no confidence in her.
Extraordinary. I mean, Dave Williams, every time Dave sneezed, they did an attack piece on him. But no, you're right. I mean, Rocky Mountain Voice, Heidi Ganov, never mentioned it. You know, not happening.
I'm just, did she cover the Republican Party? Is it just, I mean, what's the deal with Heidi? I mean, I like Heidi, but wait a minute. You don't cover anything.
See no evil, speak no evil. So, yeah. And I think, unfortunately, I mean, they're working on a recall petition. I personally am not, well, we'll see. I don't know how that's going to all play out. I think nothing's going to happen. I think it'd be very hard to have something happen before the assembly, which is coming up April 11th. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Hey, this is funny from Leo. He says, wait, you mean I have to go back to buying women steak and lobster? Yeah, prostitution's not going to be. So it's going to continue to be illegal. Okay, well, that'll wrap it up for us a little bit. Unless, Chuck, anything else, or you're good?
No, that's it. That's it.
Okay. I think on Wednesday we're going to try to get Brian Jund up then. Maybe Robert Spencer. To talk about it around. He's traveling. But
yeah,
otherwise,
we haven't talked to Robert Spencer for a while. That'd be great to talk.
Oh,
to.
Oh yeah, I bet. Yeah, I mean, as always, this is his total area of expertise here. So
yeah.
Get his Thomas says take. Love Robert Spencer. Yep. Okay. Hey, well, thank you to everybody on Zoom. Thank you to the guys at BBS. Thank you to Chuck calling in from World Headquarters. And we will see everybody on Wednesday.
All right. Bye, everybody.